Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
I tell you, we're going to continue on. Everyone stand to your feet. We're going to go read the Word of God, and then we're going to go into our subject we're going to be working on for several weeks. The title is, So What? That's S-O-W, what? But we're talking about the idea of the Word of God being sown into our lives, and so we're going to John chapter 6, verses 26 through 40, and then to Mark chapter 4, which is kind of our home run that our home place that will remain. And we'll be working on that particular chapter. Well, starting at verse 26, responding verses behind me. Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Then they said to him, What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Therefore, they said to him, What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread also. But I said to you that you may, you have seen me and yet do not believe. For I have come down from heaven and not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Come on. And this? I think we need to go to the next screen. Mark chapter 4. Yes. The O means we're going there. Okay, here we go. Okay. Here we go. One more. Let's do this together. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. Because it had no root, it withered away. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, today we're talking about this whole idea about sowing and reaping. And Lord, there's much to be gained from this because we learned some things last week that we want to even rehearse this week about the very fact that because seed is sown doesn't mean we're going to get it. And we know that there's a robber out there. There's the birds of the air that want to take the very word of God and take it away from us. But Holy Spirit, we ask you to teach us today that we might comprehend the very power of the word of God that will change us from the person we are to the person you desire for us to be. Holy Spirit, come into this room today and bring us to a place of surrender that we would know your will and we would be willing to perform it. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus and all God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated. As you look at someone, tell them this. So what? I like these people with the attitude, so what, man? So what? Really? actually what we're talking about, and we're going to rehearse what we learned last week, because some of you weren't here, and one of the shocking statements that I made, which is absolutely true, unless I give you some tools or some things to work with, 90% of what I tell you today, you will forget before you get to in your car in the parking lot. People say, whoa, what's that all about? Well, we have a plan. That's not going to happen to you ever again. But as we move forward in our discovery regarding the sowing of the Word of God, the impact it can have on our lives, I believe it is important for us to take the time to review some methods to prevent it from being stolen from our remembrance by the devil. Does that seem reasonable? It'll just take a moment to do this, and we're going to get right into the Word. So when taking notes, consider these four things. They'll be up on the board for you. Number one, write notes in phrases, not in sentences. This is not a contest for your English teacher. Write it in phrases you can remember, like, so what? Stuff like that, you know? You'll remember. Number two, review and revise your notes within 24 hours. What you write down today, sometime before, even this evening is even better, but at least by this time tomorrow, review your notes. Number three, real simple stuff. Repeat the notes within a week to bring recall back to 100%. You only have to review them one time within a week, and I have statistics to prove it, that if you do this, you will retain 100% of what you wrote down. Whoa! Some people say, well, I just don't have that kind of a brain. If you get just these three steps here, and finally, write a one-sentence summary that you can apply to your life. In other words, just don't take notes. Give yourself a summary of this is how my life is going to be changed, not for just today, but forever. Sound simple enough? Now, if you happen to have come today without a pen, raise your hand. The ushers have plenty of them. Ushers, I have people down here without pens. Just keep them up there till they will supply them, because I warn them ahead of time to have pens ready for them. Here they come. Here come the ushers. Give them a big hand as the ushers come. They're going to help you out today. Come on. Come on. You see folks down over here, and that little piece, you didn't get a little piece of paper when you came in the door? Hey, they got paper for you. School is now in session. Amen. Glory to God. Well, our challenge today will be to confront the things that are in our lives that prevent the Word from taking root because of the shallowness fostered by our emotional responses. Today, this is going to be a healing of your emotions. Got some people over here that need pens as well. Anybody ever met Shallow Al? Shallow, about this deep. I mean, nothing, you know, nothing really gets through to him because everything's kind of surface. Ever been to a place where they just have surface talk? They say, oh, how's the weather and how's things in your life and this type of thing? And how's your bunion on your foot and something? I mean, just, we're going nowhere with this. But here's some things, let's look at this. First of all, would it be fair to say that many of your decisions in life can be traced back to your response fueled by your emotions in the moment? I've been walking through one of those particular home shows, this type of thing. They have this little Vegematic, and they're, you know, making vegetables with it. Or Ginsu knives, or magic cloth that takes away everything from body odor to, haze on the mirror. I mean, it's... And I'm like, what's what I've been looking for? And your emotions just throw you into the nest of a great sale. And then on your way to your car, I say, why did I buy this thing? I don't even have one of those at home. Can't even use it. But our emotions will talk us into doing things that we will regret. Can I get an amen? Amen. Moving on. Do you find yourself listening to things on a soulless level without truly engaging what will need to occur in your life in order to make this come to pass? That's a great idea. That's wonderful. I really need to do that. But then all of a sudden you realize that, but that means I'll have to get up early. That means I'll have to stop doing. And all of a sudden, what our emotions try to talk is we realize it's not really going to be a feasible situation. Number three, are the things that you know about in your life that you ignore when hearing something good and exciting that will prevent you from becoming reality in your life? You just ignore it at the moment, saying, that's great. Yeah, I can do that. And honestly and truly, you can't. Let's go into the Word of God. Jesus knows the real reason why you come to church. Isn't that exciting? Chapter 6 of John, verse 26. And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Ever ate a meal that lasted forever? Well, no. But sometimes we come to church with that particular mentality that I'll just get fed today and it'll just kind of last through everything else going on in my life and nothing can take it away from me. And that's really a shallow way to even look at coming to church, but I'll add some more things to it because it's the real reason. Our emotions are often a determining factor of our expressions and engagement in a church service. Here's a couple things you might consider. Many people come to church in the hopes that their experience will be similar to one that they've had at another time that was emotionally fulfilling. Like some say, oh, I hope the choir sings today. Oh, I hope they sing my favorite song because, you know, I just need a release. Really? We are pre-programmed, unfortunately, for those who are churchgoers, to what we like and what we don't like. And depending upon that will be the depth of our experience with Jesus. And if the things we like don't really come to pass, boy, that service sure was dead. What's wrong with the choir today? Pastor didn't say anything relevant. I don't know why I even came. I think I'll skip a week. And it's easy to do that. Because we're looking for that emotional experience. What about this? For some people, it is a hope and a longing to experience that which will bring hope, joy, and relief. Experience. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but when it doesn't happen the way we think it should happen, there's something within us just doesn't register well. We'll consider this as well. For some, seeking a good word that will bring relief and hope, even though it might be temporary. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit may speak to you something today, and some people say, oh, he'd never say this. Well, check me out on this one. Holy Spirit, while I'm preaching a message, I won't even say these words, but I'll talk to you about temptations and things that keep you away from the Lord, and all of a sudden this thought comes to mind, you know what? I spend too much time with Netflix. I need to cancel it, and we'll rebuke the devil. Not really realizing, that was the Lord telling us, you need to make some decisions about where your time's going. And it wasn't someone that imposed that. It was the Holy Spirit that in the midst of all the things that we're gathering, he will target a message directly to your spirit. But if you're too shallow to receive it, it will just go right on by. And nothing will change. Don't blame the Lord. But the rocky places in our lives are often issues and choices that will prevent the word from taking root, which simply means this. When we find excuses that will keep the seed of the word from taking root, well, you know, the service was too long. I'm not going to go, that was too long. I just need to take a break. I mean, that's way too long for me. Really? When we measure it by our particular measure rather than by the Spirit, the conclusion we come up with are going to be really interesting. We will forego worship, watch this, which prepares the heart to receive the word from God, and we'll just miss the opportunity to experience the effect of the word of God. Because, you know, oftentimes, I want to tell you this, I'm going to be real frank with you. So I said, well, I just kind of cruise in at the last song before they have the offertory or before the pastor preaches, and that'll be fine. Says who? Tradition and the way that we prescribe our own medicine. And that's a really dangerous thing to do. Oh, how about this? We often accept the word as a suggestion of something that we might address, that might address our personal issues. Hold on with me for just a few moments because here's a couple other things I think will be interesting. Emotionally motivated believers will seek ways and means to perform the works of Jesus. That means, back to 6:28 again. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Huh? Were they sincere about this? Well, Jesus' response, evidently they weren't. Because Jesus looks into our hearts and says, well, I just want to be a better Christian. I want to read the Bible more. I want to do a fellowship more. I want to witness to people more. Do you really? Look at these particular examples. We often look for shortcuts or formulas to perform the works of Jesus without the depth of his word. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto men, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word study. Many of us don't like to study unless it's for an exam for a driver's test or something we really want to do or is something mandatory on our job. But study isn't usually the thing we want to do. And we want the end result, but we don't want to put in the work. We're shallow in our experience. Now, what does that mean? It means a little bit further. The surface followers have no depth of, here's the word that we're going to use today, commitment. Commitment. That means when it gets hard, you still do it. That means when you get tired, you still do it. Say, oh, I don't have time to do that today. But you know what? You still need to do those 30 sit-ups. I did them yesterday. Skipping a day is not going to hurt. What do you want? Say, oh, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, give me the effect of 30 sit-ups in Jesus' name right now. Come on, Holy Spirit, work with me. Really? The word is received, but it's in competition with other things. We would rather do something else than to do the things that would be necessary for us to grow into the person God wants us to be. Come on, be honest. I don't really want to do this. Something else is more fun, more interesting, more appealing. Shallow people. I know you know people like that, so get them a CD of this service, okay? That'd be great. The word of God cannot survive because it has only touched the surface or the emotional level of our hearts. What does that look like? We must move from the information of the word of God to the transformation of your spirit. Information versus transformation. Transformation asks the question, how can I apply this to my life to be holy unto God without guilt and without shame? Now, let me tell you something. The devil is very good at shaming you. Say, for instance, you get up in the morning, you're really in going fast pace, and you forget or whatever, you're just too busy, you don't read the Word of God. What kind of Christian are you? You're on your way to work. I didn't read the Word of God today. That must not be very important to you. And you just get yourself all just messed up as far as that's concerned. You're not really a Christian anyway. But here's what it'll do. At the end of the day, while you made it through the day, you didn't really need the Word of God. Everything worked out just fine. What are you reading the Word of God for in the first place? What? And then, but we will, that little deposit of the enemy will plant a seed in our life of shallowness that will say, well, I guess the word of God really isn't that important. I'll just kind of take it as it goes because God loves me. God's a God of grace. I know you never thought about that one. Well, a glad reception of the word will often looks at a desired outcome without the work that must be done in order for it to come to pass. Receiving the word on this level will only cause people to think about what could be in their lives without taking it to heart and the things that we must change. I want to tell you of at least four or five things that will allow the word of God to take place in your life. Number one, change your mind. Change the way you think. If you don't change your mind, the word of God cannot change you. What about this? Change your attitude. Oh boy. Attitude, not just an attitude of gratitude, but an attitude of realizing that we don't have all the answers. Or here's another one. I tried it before and it didn't work. What it were you planning to work in your life? Tell me about the it. Because usually the it required something on your part that you weren't willing to do. And so it couldn't do what it was supposed to do because you weren't cooperating with it. Then God says something about this. Oh, this is one that really gets you. God says, if you want the word of God to take place in your life, you need to change the people you hang out with, change your company. can't even believe you said that. That is so hurtful. I've been friends with these people for years in my life before I even met Jesus. And these are my homies. Yeah. Here's one. Change your focus. Why did you come to church today? Because it's Sunday? Because I serve, I'm an usher? I think we really can't answer that unless we've already determined before we walk in those doors, I came to allow the Holy Spirit to change me into the person I am to the person he desires for me to be. Every time my car pulls up in that parking lot, I don't assume the fact that I've got it all together and think, God, whatever you need to do in me, because I'm here and this is the appointed place of meeting, that I want your Holy Spirit to do a work in me. Well, let's talk about the rocky places a little bit more. Rocky places in our lives will prevent the word from becoming real to us. Back to chapter 6, verses 30 through 33. Watch this. Therefore, they said to him, what sign will you perform that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Some of us are looking for a show. Well, when I see the dead raised or when I see other things happen, then I'll really believe it. But right now, the thing that I've talked about for months now, I'm going to drill this into us, into me as well, is the fact that the number one thing that we face as believers is the unbelief. Oh, we believe, but it's unbelief that that uproots the belief that we have. Because unmet expectations or things that didn't come in your time frame are working against you. Well, getting a little bit further, though, you do. Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Go on to the next verse, please. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Your life, the Bible says, in him we live, we move, and have our being. If you have any relationship with Jesus, with God outside of Jesus, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Well, shallow people will always find signs and confirmation to deal with their doubts. Oh, you know, they just want to look on the surface. Oh, yeah, God must want me to do this. And so they just kind of look for little things. Oh, let's see, I got a space in the parking lot. That means I'm supposed to be here. What if the parking lot's full? Oh, I need to go home. I need to go home. God doesn't want me to be there. Oh, he's teaching them the same book I read 3 weeks ago. That must be a word for me. Really? Do not look for those things. Some things, I'll be honest with you, have an expiration date. Bread's in the package. It looks absolutely beautiful. If you read the tag, it says, it's good if used by. And after that date, there's no guarantee. When God, the Bible says, Jesus said this, the day that you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. You won't feel the same way about this word tomorrow as you would today, because this is the day that God intended for you to hear it. Consider that. Well, shallow people, they are reluctant to consider the miracles they have already experienced as validation for what they are presently facing. Wow. If you're going through a tough time today, I want to give you a word I believe is from God. The same God that delivered you out of that situation that you thought you'd never come out of is the same God you're talking to today. So I want to take your unbelief or your lack of faith to put it into the present moment. He's the same God. And he has the same love for you that you don't have to worry about the fact of whether or not he's gonna come through for you. But your faith and confidence are in the God that brought you to this particular point, and he will take you further. Consider this further. The act is this. Doubt and unbelief will keep the word of Jesus from taking root in our heart. Now, remember I told you there was things we have to worry about. First of all, that'll keep the word from taking place. Number one thing is ignorance. You're just ignorant. Never heard that before. And God won't beat you up for being ignorant. Then comes unbelief. Even though you do know it, you're saying, I can't really believe that. But the real toxic one I want us to be delivered from is disbelief. You know, some people diss that, they don't want to have anything to do with it. Says, I know what it says, but I don't see how that's possible. So I don't believe it's going to happen. So you become God, and everything else is irrelevant. There's no way it could happen in my life or her life or this type of thing. I just don't believe that's relevant for today. Wow. And the enemy really does some terrible things to keep people in that place. Emotions are often triggered by the potential of what can happen without commitment of measurable length, but rather in the moment. I'm going to repeat that because I want you to get the impact of what's going on here. Emotions often triggered by potential of what can happen without commitment to any measurable length, that rather in the moment. This is, I want it to happen right now. Jesus, do it right now. And if it doesn't happen that time frame, all of a sudden, Jesus isn't real or Jesus doesn't care. Let me help you with this. It talks about the seed. And the Bible says it springs up for a moment. But because of the oppression of sunlight, it has no depth. It soon dies away. Here I go back to this idea about us, the things we remember. Some of you will have faith that will enter into your life and says, I believe God can do that. I know that God can change my situation. But it's right on the surface. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But then all of a sudden, the sunlight of circumstance will come upon us. And before it can take root in your life, it withers up and nothing else changes. We'll get to the fact of whose fault that is in a moment. But I will tell you this much. The rocks of the world will prevent the word from taking root and eventually dry up. People who hear the word emotionally will react to everything and commit to nothing. Oh, that's great. Oh, so, I don't really want to change anything, but I think it's great. Super. Fantastic. We must be willing to come to Jesus with total confidence in the word that he's given us, which means this, that instability of shallow people is evidenced by their transient behavior. Now, what does transient mean? They're here today. There's somebody else, someplace else. They just kind of move around. They're kind of spiritually nomadic. Oh, I'm feeling God is just leading me somewhere else. I just don't know what it is, but I'm just going to follow the Spirit. And wherever he leads me, I'm going to follow. You're just as shallow as you can be. I don't know, some of you did not grow up during the revival things that happened in the city here. There's been several revivals that have been in the city. In the 60s, there was a great revival happening that came up from Costa Mesa, California, swept up the West Coast, and there were a number of people that were a part of that revival. I don't know, I think Roberta's here someplace. She remembers. Anybody remember those days back then? There's probably maybe five of you. I said, where were we? I don't know where you were. But there was this great outpouring of the Spirit of God. And the interesting thing about it was, it didn't really care whether it was not gender specific or racially specific. But people would, the Holy Spirit was pouring himself out, and those who wanted to receive would receive. And the hardest thing for me was Jesus saving Presbyterians. Presbyterians smoke. Presbyterians drink liquor. They wear open-toed shoes. And some of them swear. Dear God in heaven, how could he deal with a massive group of hypocrites? Don't laugh. Pastor Chuck went to a Presbyterian church. But Jesus didn't care. He began to pour out his spirit and people got saved and delivered and all of the type of thing. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, what are you doing here? Here's the deal. The emotional responding people, their excitement and thrill fades because they don't have any root. If they stay there long enough, they get planted and the root of the Lord Jesus Christ grows up in there and brings up a crop of eternal life. Ideas, beliefs, and judgments are often based upon emotional responses to the Word of God. We process our relationship with Jesus through our emotions. That's a terrible thing to do. You have to live by the Spirit. And He will direct your heart, your mind, and your will. Well, those who lack roots will find excuses not to allow the Word to find root in their heart. Here's one of them. They will become overly sensitive about things that are tied to their own personal preferences rather than biblical principles. I can't believe they're doing that. Well, I can't go to a church like that. They allow that to go. I just can't do it. Really? I just can't. Really? Our emotions will tell us things that are just not true. Well, they'll come into alignment to our preferences, which are just not the best. They'll come into alignment with the fact of our thought life that is many times hooked to our past experience or the way that we were raised or the way we're used to having it. Let me tell you something. If you want to continue to be a shallow person, put all those things before the Holy Spirit. And I guarantee you, you will not grow and you will not last. Second thing is this. They will allow their feelings to determine their level of involvement with other believers. She isn't my type. We have nothing in common. She was raised in Southwest Portland. I was raised in St. John's. We have nothing to talk about. We really don't. She's a beaver. I'm a duck. Hey, what can I tell you? If I see that yellow and green another time, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to go to a different church. Now, you may laugh at this stuff, but you know what's so funny about it? It makes a difference to some people. They get it ingrained in their spirit. There's an automatic distrust. And then, there's the bourgeois folks. And if they're not from Harvard or Yale, I really don't think they have the adequate ability to speak into my situation. I'm used to the finer things of the protocol of the scriptures of God that have been scrutinized by those who are most worthy to look at them from a perspective that they could really examine it down to the core of the Greek, the Hebrew, and any other things that are tied to it. You're a knucklehead. Talking all this jargon and this jive, this type of thing. If the Holy Spirit's in, I'm down with this. You know what I'm saying? In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. How about this one? They will stumble easily when they're faced with hardship. I put the word easily in there rather than people who stumble in hardship because I think all of us, myself included, when we're going through a hard time, we've made some missteps, we've made some stumbles. But the word I put in there for shallow people is easily. They'll stumble over some particular thing and they'll just, oh, whatever, it's not worth it. My question to you is, what will it take to move your relationship or your faith and confidence in Jesus? What is the deal breaker for you that'll move you away from having a relationship with God? They have little or no interest in exercising their faith. The word about exercising faith is really the idea that we will never grow, will never be anything of any substance unless we have something that challenges our faith. Not just our faith in God, but our faith in the fact that He who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Sometimes self-doubt about yourself and about you being able to make it, it is what will uproot your relationship with Jesus, because we don't believe in what Jesus already installed in us. If you're taking notes today, I would just suggest this one thing is, and just write it down, whatever words you need to use, he'll be faithful to complete it. But you have to let him. This is not an honorable, it's about faithful to complete. It means that he'll give you instruction of how this is going to work. But you have to be willing to receive it. And it may not come the way you want it. So they stumble in the face of hardship. They look for reasons to excuse or excuses not to get involved. Oh boy, this is going to be one. I'm not going to dance over this one. I'm just going to walk right over it, just like I'm going to walk on your face. Some of us, I know I use the word us, not some of you, look for reasons and excuses not to get involved. Well, if they did it on Tuesday, I guess I would do it. But I'm just booked solid. With what? With things that you've already prioritized over the things that would be beneficial to your relationship with Jesus. That's why you're so shallow. You're not going to move anything. Oh, my schedule's already full. Do you see? That's there is no room on there. There's no room for Jesus. One other thing. They have little desire to serve others. If you go back to the scripture, I just used a little bit of it today. Is they said, well, you know, show us a miracle or something that we might believe in you, Jesus. We really do want to believe in you. And Jesus says, you know, he says, you're seeking me. And he says, this is the work of God, that you may believe in him whom he sent. And he says, most assuredly I say to you that Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but that your Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. My question to you, as we're getting ready to close, is what sign does Jesus have to deliver to you that will cause you to believe him because of his word's sake? We came here today, and last week I gave you this particular challenge, and I'm going to give it to you today in a different form. What is the one thing that Jesus wants you to change in your life today to make you more like him? This is to everybody. Just the one thing that Jesus wants you to change in your life to make you more like him. And you notice, oh, he didn't say anything to me. Oh, are you delirious? Are you really disillusioned? Jesus didn't say anything to me. I was listening, but I didn't say anything. The shallowness of people, the shallowness of believers, is many times at the place where they forget why they came. I want everyone to bow your heads right now. Everyone do this right now. Everyone. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit this one question. Lord, what is the one thing that you want to change in my life today? Today. For many of you, as we're just kind of marinating in this moment, shallow people here will find some surfacey situation, you know, and we'll kind of dismiss it on that. But I want you to go a little bit deeper. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to go a little bit deeper. And I think you'll discover the one thing that the enemy has told you that will never change. And you know that's the thing that Jesus wants to change in your life. The one thing that you think is not changeable, the one habit you think that you'll never be able to beat, That's what the Holy Spirit wants to start there. And you know why he'll do that? To increase your faith for all the other little things. The Bible says, and Jesus says, ask largely of me. Don't look for, just say, well, I think he could do this, so I'll give him something easy. Jesus isn't asking you to play games. He's asking you to trust him to be all that you really need him to be. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to invite his presence into your life. And then I will tell you how we're going to respond to this today. Jesus, we can come to through these doors week after week. And we can shield ourselves under the cloak of righteousness, self-righteousness, whatever it might be. But Lord, I want to get so real with people that are here today that will be honest with themselves and honest with you, that there's a one thing. To them, it may seem like it's a big thing, but to you, it's the one thing that you want to do in their life today. It'll do two things. Once for all, it will increase their faith of something they thought was impossible, that could never be done. It'll reveal your majesty of being able to go to the place in their heart and say, you know what? Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Lord, there are people on the outside of the door of circumstance ready to knock on the door, some apprehensive about whether there'll be an opening, but Lord, help their eyes of their faith to realize that all they have to do is knock and the door will be open. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, the Holy Spirit is talking to people here today, and you're ready to make a transition from a place that you thought was impossible to a place that God says is going to be a new reality for you. I'm going to tell you two things we're going to do. The first thing I'm going to have you do is just lift your hand in just a moment. And then we're going to sing a song that really says what we're going to do. We're going to run to the Lord. And running means doesn't necessarily mean the pace we're going to, that we're coming. It means the fact that we are without inhibitions, without anything that's going to be an obstacle to us, without any obstruction. We're going to come to Jesus, and Jesus is going to meet that need. I want to say there are people here today that have been wondering if Jesus is really real. I want to tell you he's real. So right now I want to ask those people, this is the one thing that you believe in God to change in your life today. I want you to lift your hand right now and say, I need Jesus to change in my life today. Lift it up high where I can see it. Lift it up all over this field. Lift it up high. Lift it up high. Lift it up high. Leave it there for a moment. Anybody else? Just leave them up there just for a moment because I want everyone to get a chance to respond. Okay, put your hands down. In a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing that song. Now, here's what the enemy will say. Oh, okay, this is just between you and God. Don't worry about it. But there are people that have been vetted in this body that will pray with you that will be completed today. And by the fact that you lifted your hand means that I really want something to happen. And the faith to believe, the shallowness will be eliminated when you say, you know, I'm going deeper with God, that the seed of the word of God is going to be planted in my heart, that I can believe God for the things that I thought were impossible. In Jesus' name. Everyone stand on your feet. Those of you who lift your hands, make your way down the aisle right now. Come right now in Jesus' name. Just come. Come right now in Jesus' name. Everybody, let's lift those hands to Jesus. Everybody, everybody, everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we leave this house, but not your presence, we leave here with that word that's within us that the enemy can't take from us because it's going to find its place rooted in our lives. As we move all the rocks of discouragement, all the rocks of complacency out of the way, that the word may find root in us. Holy Spirit, guide and direct us this week. Let your Holy Spirit take us to a place where we'll have a stronger affirmation of our faith in you for your love, for your grace, and for your peace. Thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you are and for all that you do. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.